Welcome to GamerCast. I'm back. This is episode 174. I'm Adam.
And I'm Paul.
And I'm Catherine. I say yeah.
And this is the show for the 18th of October 2009. Or Rocktober, as some people have been saying.
No, that was Friday.
Well, you know what I mean.
And last Tuesday.
You know what I mean.
Okay.
I have to apologize for my absence because I had a birthday, then I completely forgot that I had a gig to go to, which was annoying, but it was cool. Made me feel old because there were a lot of young people there.
That's okay. Catherine's going to miss... Actually, you might not miss it.
No, I'm not going to miss any because I'll be there then and I'll be home in the afternoon on Sunday. Okay. Oh, I'm going to miss shopping. What the hell am I going to do?
Do it in the afternoon.
Yeah. Anyway...
Or give me a shopping list and watch me get all the wrong things.
You could pay for it.
I got out of doing shopping today because I went climbing and I was like, yeah.
Oh, I like shopping.
Yeah, it's quite fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
Are we talking shopping or
food shopping?
Oh, Sarah needs me to come because if I'm not there, she has to wear her headphones. And if she doesn't, you'll probably find her arriving at the Tesco Tills with around about three children strapped to the front of the trolley where she's tried to run them over. She hates shopping with her, believe you. If she can do it online, she'll do it online.
That's boring.
I don't think it's the shopping she doesn't like, it's the other people.
Meh.
Everyone getting in her way. She gets all.
It is annoying when people stop in the middle of the middle bit.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is really off topic from games and stuff. Talking about food shopping.
Well, unless you're going to buy your video games, why
are you. True, you can buy your games from Tesco's. Nothing was cheap this week, I must say.
I did, however, have a copy of the Shivering Isles.
Yeah, for £4. The Professor Layton second one's not bad, though.
Anyway, let's stop advertising quid. Tesco and talk about the PSP Go.
Yes.
What's going on with the PSP Go, other than the fact they can't sell them?
Yeah, it doesn't seem like they've done a price drop in the US yet, but the price drop in UK has gone from the 224... down to $199.99, though I'm unsure whether anyone got it any cheaper, because for a short period of time, Play.com was actually selling it for $149.99, and I saw it on there for the day, and then my mate said, oh, have you heard that Play got it wrong, and they accidentally dropped the price by accident, and then they put it back up, and I was like, what, it's not that price. So I went back and had a look, and yeah, literally it had gone back up to being... I think they had it at 250 at one point.
Well, yeah, the original retail was £250.
Yeah.
And
then it dropped to 230.
Well, that was the thing. They said it was 250, but it was given for the price that translated from euros that what Sony had recognized it to be selling at was actually £224.99. So they seem to be putting it up the price. I think it's their way of saying
no. They released it in the UK at 250. All the retailers couldn't shift them. So the retailers knocked it down, and then Sony knocked it down too.
Yeah, but I don't know if this is going to crack on over to the US or not, because it seems to be selling reasonably well out there.
Really? I've heard they're not selling at all anywhere.
I heard that PSPs are doing really shit in Japan at the moment as well.
Really?
Yeah, they can't beat the DS.
Yeah, see, that is the problem with the DS. It does... I like my DS, I must admit, and there were games that I really liked. It's kind of like me with the Xbox and the PlayStation 3. The stuff that I like particularly on the Xbox, and the stuff I'll particularly like on the PlayStation. And it's the same with the PSP. There's certain types of games that I will only play on the PSP, and I wouldn't never buy them on a DS. They're the alternative versions, and vice versa sort of thing, but I'm fed up with the UMDs having to carry those things around because I feel like I'm going to get them scratched because they're an optical disc, so I'm forever got them in the proper boxes, so I'm carrying around three games that takes up more space in the console.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of having them downloaded kind of appeals to me, so I'm kind of considering it, but I'm not sure. I know it's cheaper to buy one from the States, but
Yeah, that's because you're not paying sales tax on it. Unless, of course, you get hit by...
customs.
Yeah.
Yeah. It may leave the box in Canada. But yeah, I'm tempted by it. I do hear mixed reviews about some people saying that the size of it is better because it's a similar size to a PlayStation 3 controller, and then some people find that it's too small, and they're used to the larger one.
I read someone on Twitter had said it could fit in their Game Boy Micro pouch that they got with their Game Boy Micro.
Yeah, it's pretty small.
That just sounds a bit too stupid, if you ask me.
Yeah.
How big is the screen?
It's supposedly not that much smaller than the standard one. But when you look at it, like, compared to the 3000, it does look like you've just basically lost the buttons on either side, and they're at the bottom now.
Well, yeah, that's because they are.
Yeah, exactly. I had a look into the specs and stuff, and they've decided to get, because they've changed the USB port, they're not using a standard mini USB to large USB like they use for PlayStation 3 and the old PSP. They're using a USB to a port that's universal to the PS Go only.
So it's not universal to anything, it's proprietary.
Yeah,
so what, they're giving it its own kind of little lead?
Yeah, but it...
That's a bad thing.
Yeah,
that's horrible.
That's what I was kind of confused at. The reason why they seem to have done that, supposedly, is because they're only using the one port. So that one port will do everything. But I thought it's kind of annoying, because I like the idea that I could just nick, like with my old PSP, I didn't have a cable that hooked it up to my PlayStation 3. I just plugged it on the other end of the cable just for charging the PlayStation controller. So the idea I've got to have this extra cable around was kind of annoying, but you use the same cable to hook it up to a PlayStation or a laptop for downloading software or charging it, as you do for the power. Because the power on the PlayStation normal ones, you had kind of like the brick, and at one end of the cable you had a plug, at the other end you plugged it into the power socket on the PSP.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were using USB, you would have one went in the power and one went in the data, because you couldn't charge it off the data plug.
No.
Design flaw.
Yeah, this one does it off one, so it will charge and receive data through the one USB cable. So the end's a USB, the other end is the proprietary, and it only has the one port. So the charging, the data, hooking up to a TV, all goes through the one cable, which is at the bottom. The USB cable, if they're kind of using the same system that Apple are using for the fact that they've got a plug that you plug a USB cable into for charging. So you just plug it into one of those. They're doing the same system where I know that the old PSPs you could actually hook via the USB cable. If you had a mini USB to mini USB, you could hook up your PlayStation 3 controller and use that. What they've said for this is, because obviously they're not going to produce a proprietary cable that will hook up to the PS3 controller, because it's got Bluetooth, you can actually Bluetooth sync your PS3 controller to that PSP to use that instead. Which I thought is pretty cool. If you've got the cable to hook it up to a TV, if you go on holiday and you're staying in a hotel, you could hook your PSP up to a TV and then use a PlayStation 3 controller. And it's a portable games console in a different sense, which seemed quite cool. But bar that, there doesn't seem to be anything majorly different apart from the size. The fact it's got the 16 gig hard drive and it runs off mini... I think it's mini UM... Not mini UMDs. Mini Duo sticks instead of Duo.
So the 16 gig, is it an internal hard drive or is it there's a stick in there?
No, it's an internal flash drive.
So you can always add in your own stuff?
Yeah, so you can add in an extra stick.
Okay.
So you could buy a stick, and if you had a card reader, you could transfer that way, or just hook it up to your device and use it as a card reader.
Yeah, I wish they didn't use stupid Pro Duo still.
Yeah, that's the problem though. It's Sony, so they'll use their own models instead of, because it gets the sales going and they'll know that people will buy it, but... To be honest,
but it's a reason not to buy the console.
I hate that I've always had to have a different thing for them.
The thing I like about this is I don't have to have a stick. I've got 16 gigs, and I'm not necessarily going to shove all my videos on there because I have an iPod. I got an 80 gig classic iPod, which is for my videos. I put all my DVD collection on that, and all my music.
Don't they fit on your iPhone?
Well, I've only got 16 gig iPhone, and I'm intending to slowly...
Oh, yeah, the storage on the iPhones is very good, especially because it's non-expandable.
They're not.
No, there's no ports or anything for that.
Yeah, I quite happy just to have my 80 gig for all my DVDs.
Yeah, you just carry another thing, and then a PSP, then a DS, and it's like...
That's why I like having everything do one thing. Or at least things like that.
Yeah, I must admit, it's kind of like spreading it all around. One of the other features that I liked about it was I know the PSP is this Christmas will be getting the new store update where you'll be able to download comics and use it as a comic reader to read your comics off. So that kind of appeals to me because you can do that via the iPhone. And I was tempted for doing that on the iPhone, but the idea of having them on my PSP is quite nice because you can't download them on the iPhone. You actually have to download them on your computer. Then you have to transfer them into a different file format, and then you have to sync them to get them onto your...
Oh, that's a lot of fucking hassle, isn't it?
Yeah, where you can just go onto the store on your PSP, hit download, and then it's on your PSP, which is kind of a bit more appealable to me. So I think
that's how the Zune works. You just download whatever you want. You can do it on your PC or wirelessly.
Yeah. So I must admit, for me personally, because I like having my PSP, and I don't intend to own a major library of games. It's just those choice games that I like for when I'm out and about. When I'm out and about, I don't want to be trailing the games around. And if I pick one game, tens of them, and I want the one that I don't have in the console, and it just got annoying, so I got rid of it because I stopped using it because I couldn't be asked to carry the games around. So I'm tempted. At the moment, I'm tempted. I need to put one in my hand and go yes or no. I think it's one of those things where you'll put it in your hand and you go, there. Or you'll be like, actually, this is really comfortable. You have a sale. So I have to wait and see.
Shall we move on?
Yeah, let's move on.
World of Goo, if you're listening to this episode
today,
on the 19th.
Yeah, oh yeah, I'll put it in.
You can buy it for whatever price you want.
Yep, because it's their 1 year anniversary.
And World of Goo is a fun game.
Yeah, it's good. It's for PC, Mac, and Linux. Not the Wii version, unfortunately. Because
what
of course...
is World of Goo?
Oh my. It's basically a game. It's sort of like
it was made by two guys in 2 years, I think.
Yeah. Basically
it's physics driven. Isn't it?
Yeah, you've got a level and you've got an end objective.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to get your goo to the end objective. And in order to do that, you have to build like goo piles out of the goo.
Okay.
So you pick up a bit of goo and move it. It joins onto another bit of goo, and so on and so on.
Okay.
It's an indie game as well.
I'm liking those sort of things, because I had the one where you had to draw squares and blocks and stuff like that to get a donut ring to the star. It was... physics something or other on the iPhone, and then you got like scribble notes and stuff, which is quite cool. I'm kind of getting into those sort of games. I'm getting quite far in scribble notes. I do like that. Right, so what's
I'm playing right now.
Yeah, she's actually playing it right now.
Do you like it?
Yeah, it's good.
We reviewed it on the last episode if you bother to listen to it.
I haven't listened to the last one yet. I haven't had a chance because I haven't synced up my iPhone.
Oh dear.
Yeah, I will get around to listening, sorry.
Moving along.
Okay, moving along.
If anyone's been reading my blog lately, you would see there's a shower of Apple zealots upon it.
I saw you going on about something to do with Apple, but I didn't get into reading it because I was at work when I saw it.
Yeah, basically, like my other posts in the past, all the Apple fanboys on the internet have descended upon my blog and are saying really nasty things about me.
Yeah.
So
that's harsh.
So yeah,
they should have their apples removed from them forever for saying such horrible things.
So if anyone wants to feel the need to respond and have a big flame war, my blog is available. Dismanoff.net/blog.
They need a good slapping. See, that's the thing. I'm quite happy with my Mac. I use Windows.
Does it still work?
Yeah, it works lovely.
How's the battery life nowadays?
Well, I use my MacBook a little bit too much, so I'm having to try to back off and start using the power a little bit more and stop using it off the battery, because I was draining the battery down, then I charge it back up. Draining the battery down, do back up. That's wearing the battery out, but I'll get a new one eventually.
Anyway, that's all fun and good.
Yes.
Let's
yes,
talk about PlayStation 3 theme stuff, apparently. Hasn't the PS3 had this for a while?
Well, yeah, it's had it since, Adam. As far as I'm aware, it's had it Adam. Since 3... number 3, whatever you call it. Patch 3 on...
Version 3.0.
Version 3, yeah, thank you. And I must admit, I got a whisper of it passed through, but they haven't really pushed it or advertised it that much on the console. So unless you were actually looking to see what was updated, or you just went, oh, it's been updated. Oh, they've got sparkly bits floating in the background. Cool.
Yeah, that's one thing that bugs me with consoles. They never have, like, a change log or, you know, patch notes. Yeah.
You find it on other websites. That's the only way
yeah,
to do
but
it.
Yeah, but it's annoying. Yeah.
And it wasn't...
You know, while it's downloading the patch, it can show me what it's changed.
True.
I found out about it on a podcast that I was listening to randomly at work, and I was kind of like, oh, right.
Hey, was that GamerCast episode 172?
Might have been. I was going into the future. In my DeLorean.
172 is 2 weeks in the past.
I kind of like, okay, so they move. So I went and had a look thinking it wouldn't be that much, and I downloaded 2 free ones. I got a Motorstorm one and a Wipeout HD Fury one. Mm-hmm. It's very distracting when you have them on at first, but after a while it's pretty cool. But it's not a good thing to have your PlayStation 3 on when you're trying to have a conversation with someone else who hasn't seen it before, because they just stare at the screen when you're talking to them while they're watching this Wipeout car being tested on like a track thing to see, you know, checking the weaponry, checking the defenses, checking its speed and armor and stuff like that, and it just keeps looping round. The Motorstorm one's quite good. It's for the Motorstorm Arctic Fury that's on PSP, so it's just kind of a snow backdrop with some people hanging around their cars, and then people coming past on the track now and again, and then the camera gets closer and closer and then pulls back out again, and that one's not as distracting. But some of them you have to pay for. There's one that's a little big planet, and it's got Sackboy running constantly on this planet that rotates, and he's jumping and stuff. I want to get that one, but unfortunately I have to pay for it, and I'm just being a bit stingy with money at the minute. But yeah, just the fact that I didn't notice him there, if you're kind of thinking, what the hell is he talking about, go onto the PlayStation Store, go look at the theme section, and there'll be a new section there which is called Dynamic Themes, and there'll be a selection in there of new dynamic themes.
Adam, can I ask you a question?
Yeah, go for it.
What microphone are you using to record this?
I'm using the internal microphone on my Mac. I'm not using the Guitar Hero one like I was using before. I've actually been using this one every single episode, this microphone.
Mm-hmm.
I've only used the other... I think the microphone I was using before, we used it for one episode, which was the first one we did on Skype.
Yeah, it's just you've gone all echoey again.
I've gone all echoey again.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
How about now?
Still echoey.
I don't think the acoustics in the room have changed anything.
Adam, are you in the toilet?
No, I'm not. I'm not in the toilet.
Anyway, moving on. Hopefully it's not echoey for everyone else listening.
That's really weird. I just used a teleporter in Scribblenauts.
Are you playing Scribblenauts?
And it took me to some level with the Fifth Cell logo everywhere.
Yeah, the people you see there, I think, are the Fifth Cell team.
The team, yeah. And there's a little car.
And there's a zombie up on the roof.
Yeah. Damn it, I thought I could use a teleport.
No, if you do it again, you end up on the moon, and you can find Martians and aliens in a space shuttle.
There's no Martians on the moon.
They're visiting. They're there seeing the aliens. There's some little greys and some green Martians in a space shuttle.
There's no aliens on the moon. The moon is dead.
I don't say they're living there, but, you know, they may stop for a holiday.
I realise. Catherine, are you paying attention or are you playing your game?
I'm paying attention. We're talking about Martians on the moon not existing.
Well, I'm going to talk a little bit about the successor to the Nintendo DS.
Okay.
So you might want to call this DS2.
Yeah, there's no...
DS2. Is this made by Nintendo?
Yeah, this is totally unannounced. There's just some rumours.
Whispers in the air. Whispers in the air.
Rumours of what we're going to be having.
Because Nintendo have done deals.
Well, yeah, Nintendo have been doing things and...
Putting money in places.
And giving money to people, to companies to develop things for them. And it looks like the DS2 will be powered by an NVIDIA Tegra chipset.
Mm-hmm.
Which is actually a really good chipset. It's the same one as in the Zune HD.
Okay.
Which looks really nice.
So it looks like the new DS might be a bit more of a power horse compared to before.
Yeah.
So even, I must admit, the jump before it, we went from having Game Boy Advance, which was kind of like Super Nintendo graphics, up to the DS, which is pretty much close to just touching on the N64 graphics, but never really pushing it as far. Not many games went to 3D-ish on it, as far as I can remember. A lot of them tried to hold back and be a bit more cartoony than trying to go a bit like Mario 64 and some of the other ones that actually did go a little bit kind of like looking like a bad port from the 64.
Hmm.
Okay, so that seems to be a whisper in the air at the moment then. I'd be curious whether they would stick with two screens as well.
If they're going to call it the DS, I mean...
Dual screen.
Yeah, exactly.
Surely they're going to do that. Because otherwise it's admitting that, like...
They could change them both to touch.
Yeah, they should put them both to touch, but otherwise...
That would be quite cool if they did that.
Keep it about the slimness of the DSi.
Hmm. I think with the DS and the DS Lite, I think they've got it to a good size there for what you're actually getting. But I'd be curious to see whether or not it'd be something where it'll be running off a different medium, so a different type of cartridge, and would have an extra cartridge for your DS1 cartridges.
I suspect that Nintendo will probably keep the same sort of cartridge.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it's just more expensive, because it's small enough
carts are expensive as it is.
Yeah, it's small enough to maintain that sort of thing.
So you're thinking that this might actually be more powerful DS, but it still be running DS games?
They're just probably up the cart sizes. Yeah, maximum, I mean, at the moment is a gig.
They make the cartridges bigger. I mean, the only reason they changed it from the Game Boy was because the Game Boy ones were big.
Mm.
I mean, they're not going to get much smaller than DS.
Well, yeah, DS
size.
Ones are a nice size. Yeah.
All I can hear is... You can hear a dog barking in the background. Sarah's gone Skype, talking to our friend in Canada who's got a new puppy.
Oh, that's good timing.
She's got a Basset Hound. It's a baby Basset Hound, and it's called Ezri. It's the second Dax from DS9.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah. That's what she's named after, Dax. Yeah. I'm moving along. Wipeout, you finished with the DS?
Yeah, DS Tegra processor, possibly in the successor. That's that.
Cool. Wipeout HD Fury Pack. It's out for $17.99. That's the original Wipeout HD game with the Fury expansion pack. So it actually works out cheaper if you haven't bought any of them to buy them both at that price than buying one then the other, even though Wipeout is cheaper at the moment. I would say it's worth to just get the whole lot and get the extra tracks. I'm very tempted to get it because I do like Wipeout and that's very cool. So yeah, can you actually hear her talking in the background?
Yes,
yeah.
We can hear it.
She's getting very excited.
She knows she's on GamerCast episode 174.
Yeah.
Telling about the puppy. Have you guys seen the new Final Fantasy 13 trailer then?
No.
I haven't been too into them recently. I will watch it, because it's an English dub one, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a lot better than the previous trailer. It goes into it a lot more in depth by going through the cutscenes and kind of giving a sense of what it's about. Looks absolutely amazing, the cutscenes. Shows some in-game
gameplay. The cutscenes always look good. The in-game play is what looks bad.
The in-game play looks pretty good. I'm very impressed with it. Very bizarre with the summons and stuff like that, with the fact that one summons turns into a hot rod sports car, which was very bizarre. Yeah, I think it's got a mixed feelings. Some people were very disappointed with Final Fantasy XII, that he went too far away from the originals, that people didn't get on with it. And hopefully a lot of people seem to be very convinced that this one is going to bring it back to where it should be. I'm definitely going to get it, although I'll be getting it on my PlayStation 3 because I don't want to have to split it between three damn discs like I did with Blue Dragon. So, and I don't know, I'm a big Final Fantasy fan, but I've always played Final Fantasy on PlayStation, so it'll seem weird to play it on the Xbox, so I'm just going to get it on the PS3. Though I am kind of annoyed that Square Enix were very up for the fact that because they're going to release it on Xbox, they have to... PlayStation have to wait for it to be converted over to Xbox because it's out on PlayStation beforehand and then they have to move it across to Xbox, and they could actually release it Japan, then United States and UK before it ever came out on Xbox, as far as I'm been led to believe. But they've said that they wanted to release them both simultaneously so PlayStation people don't get it in advance of Xbox players, which is annoying.
Well, that makes sense for spending their marketing budget, because otherwise they have to advertise it twice.
Yeah. So, I can understand that they want to do it that way, even though I want them to just
give
it to
me. And plus, they probably realise that the PlayStation 3 version's taken a hell of a lot longer to develop than the Xbox 360 version.
Yeah, PS3's hard to develop for.
As far as I'm made aware, it's being made on the PlayStation 3, then being moved across.
Nah, they wouldn't bother doing that. Because they just have the same team do both.
Depends on if they're good.
It's only coming out on Xbox in USA and UK, as far as I've been made to believe.
Yeah,
It's not coming out on Xbox in Japan, so it's being made on PlayStation 3 first in Japan.
What do you mean by being made?
Well, it's being made for the PlayStation 3 and gets released on PlayStation 3.
Well, if you mean develop, there's no dates either way.
Yeah, I suppose.
I'll probably get it. I don't have the time to play things like that anymore, though.
No.
Yeah, that's the problem. I kind of was considering, I won't have the time to get through 40 hours of gameplay time. But then I thought, well, yeah, if it's good enough and it drags me in. Last time, that's all I ended up playing. Every time I played a video game, I would just play that. And I play video games different than I used to, where I just stick to one game for a while, where before, when I would buy lots of video games and play them all the time, I would just have a plethora of a library of video games, and I would just swap and change so regularly because I'd have lots of games, where now my library is always very small, so I don't have that many to play on at a time. So it'll keep me going. So I'm looking forward to that. Epic Mickey.
Yep, Epic Mickey. Are they in the same order?
No, I have just skipped. Sorry. Yeah. I apologize. I literally just, my eyes just jumped three lines down the show notes.
Mm-hmm.
Paul wanted to talk AGI.
Paul.
Yeah, I know. Dude, stop tapping me. Sorry. Yeah, so ATI, it looks like, have won the contract for the next Xbox.
Really?
Yeah.
Didn't realize they were actually they're starting development for the next...
Well, they're obviously going to be thinking about it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, they've got all these people here doing nothing.
On their hands.
I suppose that's the thing. They want to start. If they start now, it's a long, slow development.
Well, it takes two or three years to develop it.
Yeah. They want to take a long time about it to get something good. Because that's the thing, I think this console, PlayStation 3 and Xbox, it just kind of make you feel like the next one, you're not worried about what the next console is going to be because they keep updating them.
You're talking.
Well, ATI have won the contract. I mean, you know.
Is that it?
that's all we know.
It's all over and over.
The rumors are ATI have won the contract for the next Xbox. I don't know how else to say that.
Okay.
They supply the GPU for the existing Xbox, and they supply it for the...
Did they do the Xbox?
They didn't do the... NVIDIA did the original Xbox.
Okay.
NVIDIA do the PS3, though. Which is why the PS3 has a weaker GPU than...
ATI did the GameCube as well, didn't they?
Yes.
The Gecko.
It wouldn't surprise me if they did the Wii as well.
Yeah. Cool. Okay.
That's loud.
I got really loud all of a sudden.
No, I was saying Paul's computer's being really loud.
Yeah, yeah, my MacBook's been loud today, so that's weird. Right, Halo 3, ODST. You've completed it now, haven't you?
I've completed it, yes.
I haven't
got Major League 5 through it, but I'm... I found it weird.
Sorry, you just sound even worse for us right now.
Do I?
Yeah.
If people listen to the show, we apologise in advance, because this is just weird. We thought we got rid of the problem, but we're not sure. It might.
Well, at the moment, it sounds more like a bandwidth being constrained problem. AKA someone's missus also using the internet.
I said I don't think it would cause an issue.
And probably also doing video, perhaps.
Yes.
There you go.
If I tell her to get off, I won't be in the good books. Because she's been waiting all week to talk to
her. Well, if she's been waiting all week, another hour wouldn't make much difference.
Yeah,
that's kind of rude.
Yeah, I'm not going to go there. I am not going there. No, I want my dinner. I'm not going to get my dinner, otherwise.
Okay, so what do you want to say about Halo? Say it now before you completely go inaudible.
Yeah. Okay. I wasn't too sure about
HTC
it.
HTC Elf? Cool.
Paul, shush, Adam's talking.
Sorry.
I wasn't too sure about it at first. It took a while to get into because it doesn't play like a normal Halo game. Just on the way that it's going through. And it wasn't until I got to the first story memory backflash bit that it started playing like a Halo game. So it's a bit in between. It felt like a filler, like something to do while you're waiting for the next level. But at the same time, I thought it was very cool and very different, the fact of sneaking around. I tried it in co-op mode, and that was even more fun because you were going around with a friend, sneaking about everywhere, and you weren't just by yourself going, ah, that's too many for me to shoot. I haven't got enough bullets. I'm going to sneak. But yeah, I quite liked it. Had a go at Firefly. I was disappointed at first because I didn't realize that there wasn't going to be a system that puts you into a team. To actually play the game, you actually have to have friends who own the game. You have to know people and get together and play the game, either it be System Link on one console or on Xbox Live. But when you play Halo 3, you don't have to know anyone. You can just get thrown into a match.
Well, no, but because it's much more sort of team-based, that's...
Yeah, I can understand.
You want to play it with your mates, because otherwise you just have some annoying person...
Ruin your game.
Who's just sat in the spawn location waiting as you get him achievements.
Yeah, and he's not talking and yada, yada, yada. And it wasn't until I actually... Because that was the thing, straight away I was kind of like, oh, I'm going to have to play this by myself. Because no one's online.
Can't Sarah play?
And I tried getting her playing Halo, and she spent half the time staring at the ceiling. It's first person, she can't get her head around. She's not a gamer anyway. Basically, I had a go playing on one console playing it, and that's when I got my vibe for it. And it wasn't until I played that I understood why there wasn't the whole making a team up randomly got people off the internet. Once I played it like that and I realized you really had to work together, that I realized that you couldn't do it that way. So I was a bit more appreciative. I haven't yet played the second disc. I've installed it.
Well, the second disc is just Halo 3 multiplayer.
Yeah, it classifies it as a separate game, actually, when you install it. Because I was thinking maybe it would think that I've already got it installed. But yeah, I installed it twice. It's on the hard drive, so I can play Halo 3 single player, or want to play multiplayer, I'll shove in the second disc for the extra maps. So I haven't tried the new maps yet. Not been that fast because I wasn't in the mood for it. But yeah, I'm impressed with it. I do like it. I could play the game again. The only thing that I was a bit disappointed was the initial trailers from Bungie kind of gave me the wrong idea, because they kept going on about the pistol, they kept going on about this new gun, and they kept hovering over alien weaponry, kind of showing the classic push this button to gain this gun, but they never did anything. So I kind of got, you know, my own presumption that you couldn't pick up alien weaponry because you're human and maybe you can't pick it up for some reason. So I can't, because they kept saying that, you know, you're not the Master Chief, so you can't dual wield or this, that, and the other. So I kept thinking, oh, maybe you can't pick it up. Maybe you're always going to have this gun for the time being. And the first part of the game, I ended up losing both guns because I ran out of ammo so damn quick. And I was kind of like, and for the rest of the game, I was like, I want that gun back. Can I only ever get them in the back flashes? And I'm just kind of like disappointed I ever managed to get the gun back until I got to an armory and stuff. So I think it was the trailers were really for me because I had expectations that weren't met, but it's only false expectations from watching the stupid trailers. But I'm pleased with it. I am pleased with it, and I'll stop clicking my pen because people can hear that. I would say it's different. I would agree with some people's comments that you play it like playing a Legendary, where you're sticking your head out all the time and you're trying to duck around cover because you can get your head blown off a lot easier. But I was impressed with it. You played back through it anymore, or have you just completed it? And...
No, I've completed it and left it there really until Catherine decides to start playing it co-op.
Yeah. Co-op
was quite fun. I thought it was quite a lot more fun for co-op. I was playing Halo 3, sometimes it feels a bit kind of like you're in the way when you're playing co-op. But this one, especially the bits where you're in the dark, it feels like it's designed for co-op because you really want to go 2x2 down the dark corridors and stuff like that. It really does help having an extra person with you. The game feels like a team game more than a single-man army game like normal Halo does. So yeah, mm-hmm. I'm impressed.
Moving along.
Oh, me.
Epic
Mickey. It's for the Wii. So okay. I'm guessing nobody's ever heard of it.
No.
Nope.
Was that a no? I couldn't hear it properly. Yeah.
No, I've never heard of the Wii.
Okay. It's a new Mickey game being made, probably coming out next year sometime.
Mickey is in the mouse?
Yes, Mickey Mouse, Epic Mickey.
Oh, right. Okay, right. Yeah, I've heard of Mickey Mouse.
It's being made by, I can't remember the studio's name now, but Warren Spector is the main guy heading it. Hopefully okay. Everyone knows who Warren Spector is, the guy who brought us System Shock, Ultima, Deus Ex, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You've heard of those games, right?
Yeah.
Good. So he usually does like cyberpunk kind of robotic augmentation stuff. And he's now making Mickey Mouse game. One reason this is apparently he's got a huge history with Disney.
Okay.
Through his like...
Mickey's not going to be wearing goggles,
don't we? Mickey's normal, I think, but everything else is a bit different. So like, because Warren knows all this stuff about Disney, he's used like lots of their old stuff. So they're introducing this character called Oswald the Rabbit, who is an original Disney character that no one knows of because it was before Mickey Mouse, and he kind of... What's the word?
Right.
He wasn't successful, so they got rid of him. But they're bringing him back for this game, and it's something like Oswald's recreating Mickey's world in it or something like that, and you're trying to... Well, because Oswald's the bad guy, and there's a mad scientist and stuff like that as well. You see, like... Because there's only Mickey in it, but all his friends are in it too, but they're, like, robots, or, like, I'm thinking of a word, but I...
Mickey Mouse is a robot.
Mickey isn't a robot. Mickey's Mickey. But, like, they're not doing it for their normal target audience.
Right, okay, so it sounds like a Disney fan base, but not...
Yeah, it's using the Mickey fan base, but it's adding a twist to Mickey. So,
right,
with
okay.
his disfigured...
So it's not the classic...
What was that?
It's not the classic Disney Mickey type game.
It's using 1920s Mickey, which is a mischievous Mickey, is why it's not going to be like what Disney have made Mickey nowadays. Because
back to the classic black and white whistling boat Mickey, Willy, whatever it's called.
Steamboat Willy.
Yeah, Steamboat Willy Mickey.
Yeah, and using other stuff like... the clock tower cleaners one and stuff like that. It should be cool. I'm not sure on how refined it is at the moment because I read the Game Informer piece on it, which is how I found out more about it. Because other than that, I'd only seen the concept art. But it looks quite cool. The colours seem a bit green at the moment. He's got... I didn't mention that though. He has a paintbrush. That's the main thing of it, so he can do stuff with the world. I'm not too sure about the combat and how everything's happening, because it was mainly just going in on the backstory of it.
So it seems to be playing more on the animation side of Mickey instead of the character and the story of Mickey. No, that's quite an interesting way of going about it.
Yeah, drawing as many aspects as possible from Mickey's history, as opposed to just what Disney do with anything Mickey, just make something new.
Standard. It's a standard Disney pack, slap it on there, get on with it, put in levels, as many characters as people recognise, and you write Disney on the front.
Yeah.
And then you do. Well, that's an interesting different way of going about it.
Yeah, so I'm like quite interested in it, hoping it will do good. It'll sell to like probably to kids, and they'll play it and get absolutely shit scared of Mickey Mouse. that's what Warren Spector wants to do with it, and to scare kids, which is a bit weird, of course.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So it's like twisted side of Mickey. So it should be cool. That's a Wii game. Hope it'll be a good Wii game.
Time will tell.
It'll hit a broad audience because it's on the Wii in comparison to any other console.
Yeah.
It'll at least hit people that probably play Wii and are animators or something from that background that have more of a fascination with the history of Mickey and the things it's done, not just the classic today's Disney.
Yeah.
That people are into. So, yeah, that's quite interesting.
Yeah. Brutal Legend.
What did you think of Resident Evil? Now you've got past the menu system.
The menu's even cooler in the real game because it has a backstory to it in a way. Because, like, when the game starts after the Double Fine logo and the EA logos and stuff, Jack Black is there and he takes you into a record store and he finds the vinyl and that's how it gets on the desk with the hands.
Right.
Which is quite cool. We know.
That's why. Interesting about it. So when you're going through the menu system, it's pretty much as if Jack Black's character is flipping through vinyl on a desk.
No, Jack Black himself.
Oh, it's Jack Black.
So it's actually like a video that they recorded, and then they go into a record store, which is somewhere in America, I'm guessing, and then he's like talking to you the whole time about how there's this awesome vinyl that he's never bought because it's just so... Well, I can't remember what he said... It was just so, like, amazing or something like that. And the kind of things you don't buy, you just leave them there because they're, like, unheard of or something or other.
Right.
But it was it was quite cute. And, yeah. What did you think of it? That bit.
I thought that bit was good.
Yeah.
It sounds a unique way of actually going about it, considering you've got Jack Black there to play as a voice of a character, to get him in it as actually himself. Very unique way of getting him in there.
Yeah.
I suppose it gets the ball rolling with the menu system of the fact that it's that vinyl art there on the screen for the rest of the menu system.
Yeah, it's good though, because like before they had just plonked it in. Okay, yeah, it was nice. But there wasn't that much reason for the hands.
Right. So the hands are Jack Black's hands.
They're actually Jack Black's hands.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, I can understand the confusion before. It didn't make sense of why is someone holding this vinyl. It looks cool, it moves cool, but why?
Yeah.
Now we know why.
Yes, we know why, and everyone else that has played it now will know why as well.
Moving along to the gameplay.
Yes. The combat's awful.
I wasn't expecting you to say that.
You were expecting me to say that.
I know, I was expecting to be a classic third-person platforming hack-and-slash game that was really easy to pick up and didn't feel clunky or anything.
Well, it is, but it's not good.
Yeah, the hack-and-slash element of it is a bit weak.
Okay.
But after playing games like Batman, any kind of combat action...
Ignore the content, and just on the gameplay, how would you rank it up to something like Crank and...
Ratchet. Ratchet and Clank. Ratchet and Clank's a platformer. It's a I wouldn't be able to compare Brutal Legend with Ratchet and Clank. Mainly because they're both written very well, but for different audiences.
Yeah, true. I just meant on the gameplay, on the way that it feels.
Yeah.
The closest thing I've played is probably Ratchet and Clank, because I played that yesterday.
What did you think?
Started going on play.com and actually looking to see how much it costs after I played it. I thought it was really cool. I've never played one before. Actually, I was going to put it up here, but I couldn't bother in the end. But yeah, while we're talking about it, got the demo for the first... Tools of Destruction?
Yeah, Tools of Destruction, the PS3 one.
That's the first one that came out on PS3, yeah. I had to go with that one. And the demo was really good, and I do like the character. It was very cool. Sarah liked watching me play. She liked the fact that I could bring up a disco ball and then turn everybody into a penguin and make them dance under the disco ball before I threw a grenade and blew them all to pieces.
Yeah.
So it was kind of humorous in that way. I found it quite easy. And then I got overconfident and died. And I was like, my God, I didn't even realize where my health was at that time. I didn't even know where my health was to look for it. And I was kind of like, oh, actually, no, I got a bit cocky there. No, there is a bit of skill to this game. But I found it very intuitive and easy to pick up and jump around and just kill things.
Yeah, it is quite easy in a sense because, of course, they aim it for all ages pretty much. So they can just pick it up.
Mm.
Anyway, back onto Brutal Legend. If anything, I would liken it to Psychonauts. Of course, with Psychonauts being made by the same company, that is why. The animations of the characters are very Psychonauts as well. Charlotte would agree with me. Charlotte's not in here right now. All I've got is Paul, which is kind of annoying. Because he's never played Psychonauts. And he's watching a WoW video right now.
I've heard he's back into playing WoW again.
Yes, he is. There's a lot of collection elements to it. Lots of stuff in the game. I was discussing it with Paul the other night, or yesterday night, and I was likening it to a sandbox game, similar to GTA 4 in a way.
Okay, did that open where you can go wherever you want? I was expecting it to be more like I was actually expecting it to be more like a platform game where you're just running around these levels, from A to B, trying to collect stuff, and then maybe you needed a car and stuff like that. That's how I was picturing it.
Okay, there's no.
That's why that's why I put it to Ratchet and Clank. I thought it was actually that. An adult one.
Yeah, there's no like level system to it. There's primary missions and secondary missions.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite a big map. If you get the juice, which is his car, you can drive around it all pretty quickly. Then there's like these little monstery things. I can't remember what they were called, but you could just kill them. So you could just drive into them all the time. And then after a certain point, there's people as well. You can just drive into the people. Then with all the missions, so then with the primary missions and secondary missions, it's also quite similar to GTA 4. So you can follow the main mission, or after a certain point, you unlock secondary missions and then can just do all of those.
Right.
As well as also having a game stats. Is that what they are?
Yeah.
Of the full game, and then it tells you how much you've completed, and then everything that you've done and stuff like that.
Yeah, a bit like GTA, it's like you've killed so many people, you've run so many people.
Yeah, so it's got how many of a certain person's things you've killed, or how complete the game is, how many things you've collected. And there's jumps as well, just like GTA.
So like GTA, you could just muck about all day and not.
Yeah, you could just muck about and do whatever you want. I was doing that pretty much when I started playing it. Right. Trying to find dragons to free. Well, dragon statues to free. But I think it's quite nice. I like it.
An interesting world.
It's a bit brown and green. The world's quite samey throughout. But one thing, as I was also saying to Paul yesterday, was how I'm missing out on a lot of it because I'm not a heavy metal fan of any sort.
The context is not really there, where some people might actually go, oh my god, that's from the front cover of such and such, or oh my god, that looks like the creature that was in the back of that vinyl, and you know, so
yes.
People go, oh, that is so that bad.
Indeed.
Yeah, so
there's a huge emphasis of stuff like that, with like vinyl covers and things, and there's landmarks throughout and stuff like that, and I'm sure they're drawing from all these different things, and I'm just like, I feel really bad that I don't know what it's about. It's quite nice as well, though, because after a certain point, well, when you first meet Ozzy in it, when you go to the, like, weapon upgrade... Well, actually, no, it's not weapon upgrade. It's, like, upgrade place. He installs a radio in your car, which is quite nice. And that's also quite weird, because one of the features in the stats is to unlock all the songs that play on the radio. And in order to do that, you just listen to the radio. And there's like 108 songs in Brutal Legend?
134, I think.
134? It's only 108 songs, I thought.
Oh.
So you just keep
right foot on the unlockable screen, it's 138.
Huh. What was that, sorry?
So you just keep listening to the song, and every time a new song comes out, it goes, you've unlocked this song.
Yeah, well, it doesn't tell you it. It only says it on the stats menu.
Yeah, so you've listened to so many rock songs.
Yeah, which is quite nice, although, of course, it does repeat once times. Yeah. And you're not always in your car. But
yeah,
I really like... Oh, gosh, sorry. Like a hiccup thingy. I really quite like it.
I don't know, it might be 100, whatever you said.
108. Well, I did that quiz thing, didn't I? I'm quite sure that's 108 in that. I don't know really who some of the guys they've used in it are. I know they're from bands and stuff, but it's kind of lost on me as well. But then it's also
Ozzy
quite...
Ozzy would be able to recognise them.
Well, yeah. Ozzy and Jack. And he really does... He, like... His animation's like Jack Black as well. It's quite weird.
I saw some footage of it, and it was kind of like, yeah, you can see that they paid more attention to Jack than just his voice.
Yeah. Which is good.
Yeah, I think it's good, because if you're a Jack Black fan and you like rock music and you're following kind of like Tenacious D, it's probably one of those games where those type of people might not actually play this type of game, but it opens them up for this type of style of game while having the whole entire content about something that they enjoy, without it having to just be about blood, gore, and violence.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for the backstory and the setting, I don't think it would be a very good game.
What, you mean the legend stuff that I've been unlocking?
Because
that's a backstory in a way.
Well, yeah, just the whole setting of the game. If it was just a core gameplay element in a game, I don't think it'd be very good.
If what was just a core... Okay.
Just a core actual gameplay of hack and slashing and walking
around.
Oh, no,
it wouldn't work. But then there's also the RTS element as well.
Yeah, but even the RTS is like
a bit
limited to Rainbow Six style.
Yeah, go over here, do that. Stay here. Defend this.
Yeah.
But then it was also weird when I was making... what's the word? Making...
People.
People. No, I didn't mean people. I wanted the other word. Making... whatever they're called. I don't know.
Headbangers and lady people with guitar guns.
They're not guitar guns.
Well, whatever they are.
Weren't you awake when I was doing that?
No, I missed
they
the whole...
They were ripping them out. Hog things.
I missed all that.
It's like the spine of a hog.
Oh, is it? I thought it was like they were shooting guitars or something.
They look kind of like that. But no, they're like from some animal that I had to hunt. You were probably asleep at that point. But to be honest, Paul had been watching me play stuff from what?
When we got up.
About... Actually, no, because I started playing after listening to
Most
Adam
of
and Joe.
The afternoon.
So from about 11 till... 6-ish, 7-ish.
Yeah, so I
was
nodded
games
out occasionally.
But I did, before that, finish the next thing I'm talking about, and then Paul got to play some Fight Night afterwards.
Yeah, Fight Night isn't very good.
The new Fight Night. But yeah, so I think it's quite cool, Brutal Legend. I look forward to playing it again at some point. Hopefully I'll get to. Who knows?
Nah, Tim will play it all the time.
I just realised you missed something off the show notes.
What?
I'll talk about
is this the thing you put up? Yeah, we're not going to talk about that.
We're not talking about those demos?
No.
Have you already talked about
them? We already talked about it, yeah.
Okay, we won't repeat it then.
Cool.
All I'll say is Katamari Forever I did like, and Crystal Defenders I thought was weird.
Yeah, I didn't really like Crystal Defenders.
It just felt like a standard defense tower game that I played so many times on my iPhone.
Yeah.
But just happened to have the context of Final Fantasy in it. It was cool, I played it, but I was kind of like, yeah, I would actually pay money for this. Yeah, I just wanted to get that in there because you realize that's one then.
Yeah.
I saw the Alex and...
Axel and Pixel.
Yeah.
That's actually quite good. Like,
did you download the trial?
I haven't got around to downloading anything on Xbox yet.
I have to be honest. Okay, it's an adventure game made by... Silver Wish Studios, I think their name was, or Silver Wish Games, which is a Czech... Is it Czech? Am I saying that right now?
Yeah.
A Czech Republic game. Well, it was made in the Czech Republic, even. It's a game of the country.
It's a game about Czech Republic.
It's quite cool, though, because, of course, it's a Czech game, which you don't get too many of released over here, and 2K Games picked it up. I had loads of people mentioning it, that it was out now and stuff like that. On Twitter and Facebook and God knows what else. I had no idea what the hell they were talking about. And so I thought I'd... No, Charlotte downloaded the demo. And I thought I'd play it Friday night, and I had a go of it, and I thought, oh my god, this is amazing. It was actually, I bought it after the trial ended, and that's like the the first game I've ever done that on Xbox Live. I've never bought a game after playing a trial before.
Like straight away.
Yeah, like the second it says, you know, go to the main menu, unlock the full game, and I was like, bye.
Normally you're kind of like, yeah, I'll go back and get that sometime, and then later on you'll go back and get it or whatever.
Yeah.
Play the demo and go, right, I need to buy it, and then continue to buy it.
What it is, because I don't know if you've seen, well, actually nothing really explains what it is from the image, because the image is him with the dog.
Like, I've just seen him and the dog and thought, oh, okay, strange.
Yeah.
That's just like seeing.
What it is, it's a 2D adventure game, which uses photographic backgrounds.
Right.
Is that what you'd call them? Or photo-manipulated backgrounds.
Good-looking backgrounds.
Good-looking backgrounds.
Pre-rendered. Are they photos?
As in actual photos that
they
have.
So the photos are real places, not pre-rendered backgrounds.
No. Well, wait.
Well, it's pre-rendered in that it's just a static picture.
Yeah, it's a static image.
And but it's then, not an image of something real.
Yeah, so like the first part, well, the first chapter of the demo is in, well, where their house is, which is in some snowy mountains. So you've got the sky, the mountains. I think the house is, or is the house made up of real stuff? I'm not sure. And there's like a cave bit to it. And yeah, and then each level is totally different, has different photos used. It's just really, really nice to look at. Because you don't get a huge, well, you get a few adventure games that do that, well, point and click games. So Samurost, I don't know if anyone's played it here, I'm going to guess not. No. Mm-hmm. That's a web-based adventure game, which is quite nice, and uses, like, photographic stuff, but in a different sense, because they blend it in. But, yeah, it's a point and click 2D adventure game. It's got 25 chapters to it.
Hell.
Which isn't really that much if you play it through. Each screen is a chapter, in a way.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah,
and it starts in the spring. I think you get 60 minutes for each screen, in case you're a bit silly. Silly? Stupid? Would you say stupid? Silly? Stupid?
Can't figure it out.
And I think, so what if it's 25? So every 5 chapters is a season, and it finishes in the winter, and then ends back in spring again, of course. What did I have in my mind? It's got little mini games to it as well, which, if you ask me, weren't totally needed. So it's like a little one where you're driving in a car, and it's got similar handling to Trials HD. So while in the air, you can manipulate which way the wheels are going. So moving up, down, making sure it doesn't crash. My favourite one was the boat one. Because that was the nice... what it was, you were like in a little boat that they made with a magical paintbrush. and you had to avoid whirlpools. And the way to control it was you were a fan and you were hitting the sail, in a way. Well, not hitting the sail. Okay. Blowing air towards the sail. It was probably the most intuitive out of all of them, because the other one was like a hot air balloon one, which was... What did you say it was like?
It was like Lander on the Archimedes.
Lander and all those kind of old style shmups where you've got to make sure not to hit the ground or the...
Yeah, and you've got to put
or the ceiling or stuff like
rotate
that.
Rotate it, then accelerate and...
Less of the rotating... But it was quite hard to handle. I died many times. But, it's a really nice...
It's a really good-looking game.
Yeah.
Well, I'll have to give that a go, then.
The achievements...
I was kind of curious about that.
The achievements were a bit, easy, in a way. Except for the one... They've done achievements for the mini-games. But, like, one of the achievements was finishing the whole game using less than 20 clues. And they give you clues, of course, being an adventure game. I used a total of 1 clue in the whole thing, but it's because it's the kind of adventure game where you can move the mouse, well, the cursor all over everything pretty much.
And it changes on the stuff you need
It changes on the stuff you can click on, so it's quite easy to figure out what you're doing, even though you don't know what you're actually doing.
So yeah. you've got to click on some jar on the table. You don't have to figure out you've got to click on the jar, but when you move over the jar, the mouse changes.
Yeah, and then if he doesn't know what to do with it, he'll just like shrug and make a noise. Right. Or if he can pick it up, he'll pick it up then, and then you can just click on the next thing that's available to click on, and then that'll probably do something with that. But it's quite nice. The only annoying thing I'd say is the voice of the little dude. He's quite simish in speaking.
Yeah.
So he's not speaking, and he's just going... Rawr, rawr,
rawr. Yeah, he makes kind of like... They're really sim-sounding noises. And like,
right.
If he's behind an object at some point, so if you've made him go there for like a reason, he'll wave... And kind of make a high noise. And Paul found that annoying, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
That and his kinda whistling.
Like a...
Yeah, kind of like that.
Yeah, because he kept doing it and it's like...
Yeah, he'd do it like every second.
I know where you are.
But
shut up.
I mean, it's... What was it? 800 points. It came out on Friday. Or maybe... Actually, no. What days do live arcade games come out?
Wednesdays, I think.
Okay, then it came out Wednesday.
Yeah, because I think the PlayStation comes out on Thursday and Xbox comes out on Wednesday.
There you go. So it came out Wednesday, and yeah, I really recommend everyone to play it. Or at least play the trial, and if they don't like it, just don't get it.
I have to give it a go.
Yeah, it's really good. You agree?
Mm-hmm.
Great.
I saw something about the next thing, Xbox Live Update. You're about the... new thing where you can get all the new stuff early.
Stuff early?
Yeah, they've got a new competition out there. You can sign up for this thing and all the new stuff that's coming in the update you can actually get early.
They've put up a kind of beta for it.
Yeah.
But all I was going to say, because we did actually mention it last week? Paul, who's too busy playing games?
No.
Was it the week before? Actually, no, yeah, look. That one. 173. Facebook, Twitter, Xbox Live. It was just, I read on Kotaku that the Microsoft guy had sent an email, who has to do with it, I'm not sure what his name was, mentioned as well as having the Facebook and Twitter integration, and the Last FM as well, which apparently is coming all the same day.
Okay.
They're going to have, like, news feeds, although they said in America, so I'm not sure if we're going to get anything in the UK. But they're having, like, feeds from the New York Times and a load of other newspapers and shit like that on Xbox Live. Ooh. And then also have, if I think you can have it by choice, so you can turn it on or off, a news feed for the music stores. So for Lips and Rock Band and stuff like that. So
cool. So if you want to know new tracks that are out.
Yeah, or, like, maybe tell you when a new track is going to come out in the future or something like that.
Well, that's a good idea, because all of that stuff on Xbox Live has been shoved into one area, so you'll get it up here, and it doesn't say anything, it's just something for you to click on, and they give you a list of everything for each game, what's out. But to be able to find out, oh, new track's coming out, I'm going to save my voice for that one. Quite interesting if you play a lot of those games.
I figure it'd be quite nice as well if they could tell you, like, with updates on there, because if you just click on the new arrivals bit, I don't know. I don't like having to do that. If maybe it told me, oh, this is new today, then I'd be like, oh, cool, find it and click on it.
Yeah. Because I've had a go at the new Guitar Hero 5 on the demo. And that was good, but I'm going to do what my friend said, which was, if you've got World Tour, don't go out and buy Guitar Hero 5. Wait until January sales and Christmas and buy it then, because it'd probably be cheaper. Because after playing it, I was kind of like, there isn't much difference apart from the fact I'm playing something I've not played before. I couldn't really see anything that seemed to me get any better.
No.
Yeah. Nothing that made me think, I need to get this. Where I'd much rather get the Metallica one, just for the fact I like what the fact it's got my favourite Metallica songs on it, but... Yeah, it wasn't screaming anything out. I think if you've already got World Tour, the only thing that I'm tempted to do is get it with the guitar. So I've got an extra guitar for someone to play bass on. But yeah, I'm not that excited about it. But I must admit, I've not been too excited about getting extra tracks for Guitar Hero. There's a few tracks of songs that from artists that both me and Sarah like. So she wanted some that were from Dillinger and Alexis on Fire and some other bands that we like. And she liked the idea of it because I play on the guitar and she plays on the drums. And she wanted some songs that she actually does really like to learn to play the drums from them. So, but I don't know, it's just the whole having... I'm still trying to get my head around the idea of paying money for digital downloads.
Yeah.
For loads of extra stuff sort of thing. It's just kind of taking a while to get my head around it. I think it's because of the fact that you've got to go put points on and then you've got to go spend points. And yeah, I'm just kind of like... I don't know, I do like the Microsoft one, but there is something about the Sony one, the fact that I know how much I'm actually spending. I can actually see a pound sign and not just seeing points.
Yeah, but you know what it is in your head nowadays anyway, don't you?
Yeah, I know that, but it just makes me feel like, you know, my brain automatically kicks into that early warning of like, careful, remember it's real money you're spending. Where I just feel kind of distant, like it. Feel like you're on play.com and you're not paying attention to what you're doing. But yeah, still like it.
I was just gonna say the only other thing about the update was that the guy also said there's gonna be something special, but he's not gonna tell anyone what it is.
What guy?
This Microsoft guy. So there's gonna be something else in the upgrade as well, which is apparently really cool, but he wouldn't say.
I hope he's not going on about the Sky thing because that's not really cool.
Well, no, it's. He said it's something that hasn't been mentioned before, so like.
That'll be interesting.
Hopefully, something cool.
Hopefully, something not to do with chatting to people, because they seem to have like pushed everything into the domain of Web 2.0 with having the Twitter and Facebook on there, which is all great, but I don't think I'll ever use it
because it'll have MySpace support.
I was going to say Facebook, but it's like...
I nearly fell off my chair then. Don't do that to me.
Moving along.
Yeah, moving along.
Recently, fairly recently, I'm not sure when, Capcom and Nintendo and about 53 other manufacturers of DS titles have filed a lawsuit in Tokyo at their court against four companies that have been importing and selling R4 carts. I guess so. These are the people that why there's R4 carts in the UK.
Yeah.
And they're hoping from doing this, of course, it'll block distribution, and then actually mean people will actually buy DS games, which is good. Sorry, I'm reading this right now.
Well, I can say this. I actually have on my R4 games I own. For the same reason I got rid of why I want a PSP Go, because I can't be asked to carry around the cartridges. So I've actually got games I own on cartridge on my R4, just so that I can carry them all on one cart.
Yeah, I mean, like, the reason I was going to get one originally, which I never did in the end, and I can't be bothered to get one really, was just for, like, homebrew stuff. But it's like, I know so many people who are like, oh yeah, I'm going to get an R4 cart. And then they've got one. They're like, oh, I'm not going to download any games to it that I don't have because that's illegal. And then they're like, ooh, I can get that game off like BitTorrent or something like that. That sounds really good. Maybe I'll just give it a try and then I'll probably like it and then probably buy it and then they never do.
To be honest, I have downloaded loads of games and I play them and then I go, yeah. I'm glad I didn't pay £24 for that. And then I delete it off, and I go to the next one. And I think the only one that I think I actually might buy when I've got the money is Scribblenauts. But, yeah, I must admit, I've gone through an incredibly large amount of downloaded games on my R4 just to try them. There's the games that I won't buy.
Adam, we get it. You're a thief.
I would only try them to see what they're like. But, yeah, I can understand the reason why, but I mess with the other thing that's quite good for the R4, but I can't be asked for the same reason on my iPhone, is you can get software that allows you to read digital comics on them. But again, you have to do the same thing by changing them into a different format and then uploading them. And it's even more because you've got to put it on the memory stick and then take the thing out and then put it into the other thing and then hook it up. And I'm just kind of, I don't want to do that every time I've got a new comic. But I really like my R4. I think mine's dying though. It's slowly shutting down all the time. It doesn't work every time I turn it on.
No, not very reliable then.
Well, now that I'm making DS games, I'm not happy with R4 cards.
I think it's a good way for me to try something out, especially for the show, because there's a lot of games out there I would never buy and I won't be able to review.
Oh, try and blame it on the show.
Yeah, I blame it on the show. But I'm not big into buying those games. I've got quite a lot that I'll quite happy to stick with, but you know, I'm already looking at buying a PSP Go, and I will be doing the same thing with that, and I'm quite happy buying all digital downloads, having them all on my hard drive and having them like that. I'd be quite happy with that. But yeah, I can understand, and I think it's...
Well, everyone's losing out on so much money because of them as well, so...
Yeah.
I hope it goes through.
Anyway, that's pretty much it for this episode.
Yes, that is.
We shall be back next week, if nobody else has any plans.
No, I'm fine.
No, I will be back.
I'm not
doing anything. Yes, yeah, I will be. I know, because I'm going to Wales this next weekend, and I'll be back into Bristol during the day to do my rest of my climbing course, and then coming back to Yeovil ready for GamerCast. So again, I'll be trying to type the show notes with wobbly hands, which will be fun. So yeah. That's all I've got to say. Apart from I'm going mad for my PlayStation because I'm absolutely loving it.
Well, feedback can go to feedback@gamercast.net.
Yeah, or you can
leave it on the blog at gamercast.net, which is the preferred method.
Or you can follow us on Gamercast, twitter.com/gamercast, and leave any replies or direct messages. And yeah, we'll get back to you.
At some point.
Yes, when I have the time. But yeah,
or we'll put the questions up in the show.
Yep. So that's pretty much it.
So yeah. We'll see everyone next week.
Yep.
And I'll be back again.
Yep.